Welcome to Sports Lounge Live, a weekly talk show covering baseball, basketball, football, NASCAR, plus the latest sports news, both pro and college. Hear past talk shows on your phone by calling the Conversation Station or as a podcast on your iPhone, Victor Stream, or computer. Visit legendoldies.com for links to automatically connect via your computer or iPhone. And now, your hosts, Chris Devon, Perry Lester, Sean Platts, and Bill Sparks.
And here we are again. I think it's week 13, maybe, that we've started this series, but it's Sunday evening and we got a lot to talk about, and I need to shut up and turn it over to Chris.
Okay, week 13 it is. Welcome, everybody. I'm Chris. We got Sean and Perry with us, and we're going to set the agenda a little bit. We're going to start with baseball tonight because that's getting down to the short strokes. We're down to the, well, at most the last three games, maybe the last game tonight. We don't even know. We'll talk about that. We will then do our NFL wrap-up. We'll do college football. We've got a few we do an NBA story that starts our news. We've got about four news stories we want to get in here this week, things that Bill and we have picked out that we want to talk about. And, of course, your calls are always welcome. And here's Sean to tell you all about that kind of stuff.
Well, yes, of course, as the number says, you can call us at 646-876-9923, or you can come in on the Zoom app. And when you're in there, you do 287-723-4600 and hit the pound key twice. When you're here, you do star 6 to mute and unmute. Star 9 raises your hand. If you want to leave us a comment or question anytime throughout the week, 773-572-7715. Do not mark the message private. Our buddy Ringside Robert, who it's his birthday, by the way, check him out on the ringsidereporter.com, or he has a phone line you can listen to the Ringside Reporter with him at 773-572-7781. And Perry's satellite schedules football list at 641-715-3800, then 368-67 pound. Also, before we get into the baseball, today is actually something that has never happened, where every North American pro sport in a city had a home game. There was a home game for every North American pro sport in, you know, at the same time, because you had the soccer team playing Houston, the Kings were playing the Rangers, Clippers playing Washington, the Rams playing Green Bay, and of course, Game 5, Dodgers, Boston. That has never happened. That has never happened. And please remember, you people can mute and unmute themselves while you're listening. But anyway, here you go. Here's Chris.
Okay. Well, yeah, and of course, we're going to focus first on the baseball game that's going to be starting in just a few minutes. It's actually 8:15 Eastern time. There had been a we thought all of them were 8:09, but really there is the one at 8:15. And we, I think we'll focus on the two games that have been in Los Angeles. We know the Red Sox went out there with a 2-0 series lead, and then on Friday night we had a marathon, and we had an hour, 7 hours and 20 minutes, 18 innings. So it was funny. In one of the sports groups, one of the people said, I never remember a World Series game like that. And I came in and I said to her, no, you don't remember it because it never happened before. It was 18 innings, the most the World Series game ever went, 7 hours and 20 minutes, the longest a World Series game ever went. A final one about
the longest the postseason game ever.
Right, longest postseason game ever. And finally, the Dodgers won it 3-2. And Nathan Eovaldi pitched 7 innings, finally gave up the game-winning home run. But the thing is, I thought in that game, and I said this at the time, that Alex Cora kind of overmanaged. He was managing like he was behind 2-0 instead of ahead 2-1, 2-0, nothing. He was, you know, throwing pitchers in there, pulling them out, going crazy, using everybody. Finally, he had Eovaldi, who did get, you know, pitch very well, gave up 2 runs in 7 innings. You know, you can't complain about that. But, you know, that blew him for a start, at least until Tuesday. And, you know, I don't know. I just thought it was kind of crazy. Also, though, then we'll get to Dave Roberts for the next game, but also starting on Friday night. And you can understand it a little bit more from him because he was behind 2-0, but he put in the closer, and his name is escaping me right now. What's his name, Perry?
Kenley Jansen.
Kenley Jansen, yeah. In the eighth inning of both last night's game and Friday night's game, as if to get a 6-out save, which he did not get in either case, because Jackie Bradley Jr. tied the game up 2-2 in the eighth inning with a home run, and Steve Pierce tied it up in the eighth inning last night. And he, of course, probably wasn't going to be able to get the 6 outs last night anyway, Jansen, because he had already pitched 2 innings the night before. So then we get to Dave Roberts last night, and he pulled out The starter, after 71 pitches, only 71 pitches, and he was really, Rich Hill was really dazzling the Red Sox. Well, not dazzling. He wasn't throwing fast. He had him off balance. He really had him on the run. They built the 4-0 lead, and that was a question is about whether you left Rodriguez in to face Puig too long, you know, with the 3-run homer. But then you end up with that 8th-inning situation that we just talked about. Mitch Moreland hit a 3-run homer to make it 4-3. Pierce tied it up. Then you don't have your closer anymore if you're the Dodgers, and the Red Sox got 5 runs in the 9th inning. So I think at that point, Dave Roberts sort of, and I'm not saying these guys are out managing each other. They're just going crazy with these cybermetrics or whatever they're doing. And they're bringing people in at very strange times and pitching backwards, bringing in guys earlier than the other guys in the bullpen. And suddenly you see a starter in the 8th inning, or you see the closer coming in the 8th inning, and just a lot of strange stuff. So tonight we have the Red Sox up 3-1 after their 9-6 win last night, coming from a 4-0 deficit. And David Price is going to pitch. Now, what I'm thinking, and Perry is too, we think there's going to be some kind of a health issue. And I think they do expect that Chris Sale can pitch on Tuesday. But you're going to have David Price, and he pitched a little bit during the Friday night's game. He's also going on 1 day less rest than he normally would because he had a start on Wednesday. So I'm thinking he was going to be on relatively short leash. You may actually see Pomerantz in this game because he hasn't even pitched yet.
No.
And he's been out in the bullpen for some reason. So
I don't know if he's totally healthy either.
No, he was injured most of the last 2 months. So, Perry, what are your thoughts on, and Sean, what are you guys' thoughts on what's been going on here the last couple of days?
Oh, definitely. Last night, I mean, Chris Sale, I guess, even said, you know, he told his teammates in the dugout, this guy, to quote Steve Sachs, he said, this guy is freaking confusing us. So
right.
Nobody understood why you would pull Rich Hill at that point. Now, I guess Dave Roberts said that he talked to Rich Hill in the dugout, and Hill told him to keep an eye on him in case, you know, he was losing velocity or things like that. But obviously, he struck out his final batter, so I wouldn't think that any of that was going on. But you got to these managers have got to start trying to let these pitchers get back to pitching again, because this bullpen stuff, in my mind, is out of control.
Well, you also don't even know the long-term ramifications of this. You know, everybody's saying, oh, this is the new way to do it. This is wonderful. Everybody's going to pitch every couple of days, and they'll pitch an inning or two or whatever they're going to do for these bullpen games. We don't know what the ramifications are. Like, let's look at Tampa Bay next year. They're going to have a bunch of guys with sore arms who, you know, this warming up and pitching every couple of days is not something that everybody can do.
And keep in mind, David Price last night in the bullpen, he warmed up 2 or 3 times. So you would think that would take a little off of what he'll be able to do tonight.
Right.
Yeah, should. And but I almost think the Dodgers, I hate to say it, have almost given up.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I wouldn't say that. The one thing about Kershaw, though, is he's never been a real lights-out postseason pitcher. You know, he's always had he'll get his 3 or 4 innings. He'll get you going into the game. And then he starts to give up just enough to leave you in the game by the time he leaves. So I think this game is really up for grabs. But I think the Red Sox starting Price. But I do think, all things being equal, they were setting it up for Sale to pitch. So I'm thinking that Sale either asked for a little bit more rest. His velocity has still been down. Cool. He did come off the flu. So I'm thinking there's some health problems with Chris Sale.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we'll see what happens tonight, and it could be the last game of the season. Yep. And don't worry,
and
we will certainly cover the Hot Stove League once we get through this.
We do have a little bit of it, Chris. A couple of managers were hired this week. The Twins hired Rocco Baldelli, who worked in the front office the Rays. And the Blue Jays hired Charlie Montoyo, who was a coach with the Rays. So a couple of managerial posts were filled, and rumor has it, of course, and you know, Manny Machado is still being Manny Machado. And
yes,
rumor has it, as soon as the Dodgers are done, that the Yankees are going to go out and really try to double down and get him. So
Yankees. Go. As a Red Sox fan, I'm all for it.
I was listening to Chris Singleton and Dan Shulman, and Dan's voice, of course, is just about gone now. So after the past 2 nights, but they were wondering how many millions of dollars this will have costed Machado. You know, some of the stuff he's pulled in the postseason, and sadly, they came to the agreement it probably won't cost him much of anything.
No, the Yankees will still do it. They're just gonna. This is going to be their Giancarlo Stanton signing of the year, and they're getting back into a little bit of the names and not the you know, they've got a good young core with Judge and all those guys, and they're coming up, and then they're starting to get into the names. names thing a little bit too much. And it isn't names that wins ball games.
That would be my question, though, Chris. If you have a good young core like that, do you really want to bring in someone like that? I think people thought I was nuts. Remember when everybody said the Cubs were interested in him at the trade deadline, and I said I didn't want him on my team. This is why I didn't want him.
Yeah, he's been hidden a little bit in Baltimore, and he's put up good numbers, and everybody knows that. But they didn't see him day in, day out. And I don't know how Oriole fans felt about him, but it's obvious when there was an article that we had in our sports groups today where it said, you would think in the, when your team is down 2-0 in the third game of the World Series, that would be a time to hustle down the line. I guess Joe Buck said that about him right there on national TV. So it's pretty obvious what his problems are.
Oh, and so did Dan Shulman on the radio. I mean, Shulman and Singleton, of course, have been with him through the last two rounds, you know, this round and the Brewers, and they have been vocal critics of his.
Yes. Okay, well, I guess we can move on to the NFL.
Real quick, hold on, real quickly, I do, on that story I mentioned about all the sports, I should give credit where credit is due. Our NBA contributor / correspondent main reason was the one that gave that fact today.
Okay,
I didn't realize it, so got to give him credit.
Yes, and we'll, of course, get into the NBA a bit later on, but for right now, we're going to go to the football scores, and the game on Thursday night was really not much of a game. Texans 42,
not much at all.
23, so they won that.
Well, Deshaun Watson, the thing I'd say about that, he looked like his old self. It's taken him. Some guys have come back faster from injuries than others. It really did look like he was back to where he was. Yeah,
he is definitely bouncing back.
And they're really in a good position to win that division now. They've got a little bit of a cushion, and they look pretty tough. I think they're going to probably win that division now, the AFC South.
I would think so, because the Jaguars, as we will report to you now, did not look good this morning. The Jaguars did lose to the Eagles 24-18. They had they got into the red zone a number of times, but they didn't score touchdowns. They had settled for field goals.
Yeah, and Merrill Reese was holding his breath. I mean, basically, the Eagles have been losing these leads and losing these games, and it's been inexplicable. They were turning the ball over. I mean, they could have won by about two more touchdowns because they turned the ball over twice. They were driving all over the field in the first half on Jacksonville, but they couldn't score. So they kind of kept Jacksonville in the game, but eventually they hung on and won the game. But the Eagles really needed that one because they've got a chance in the NFC East, and they're at 4-4, and they've got their bye now. A lot of byes next week. We'll go over that when we do the schedule.
And consequently, you were saying how Merrill Reese was saying, you know, they could have won by more. I was listening to the Jaguars and Tony Boselli. He said that, you know, the Eagles could have won by more, but he said this game was right there for the Jaguars to take it, and they wouldn't do it.
Yep.
So Chiefs 30, Broncos 23. It ended up that way, but the game really wasn't quite that close.
It's one of those games when you're in a division and you kind of have the superiority, and they had their big scare with Denver in Denver a few weeks ago on Monday night, and you knew they respected them, and they knew Denver was going to give them a tough game, and Denver did, but they had enough to win it, and you know, they're in good shape in that division. Again, the Chargers are right behind them. It's between the Chiefs and Chargers. But it's one of those games that when you have a divisional opponent that you know you can beat, sometimes you get a little tempted to kind of turn it on, turn it off. And they did start slowly, but they had enough.
Boy, and with the Chargers being right behind them, you would certainly listen to Mitch Holtis of those two broadcasts.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
The Bears beat the Jets 24-10.
The Jets, not that close again. The Jets, I guess it was really windy. The offensive conditions were not good. The Jets did manage to get a touchdown. Mitch Trubisky had a pretty good game, and the Bears are doing what they need to do. They're staying, as I said, that NFC North is going to be crazy. All four teams are going to be in it, and it's going to come down to those games with each other as to who's going to be the champion and who's going to maybe get a wild card, because there's going to be a couple of playoff spots on the line in that division.
And we know, of course, the Packers and the Vikings have a tie in that division, so
that's right.
Yeah, they do.
That may play a role.
Yep.
Steelers 33, Browns 18. The Browns were right in this game up until the last quarter.
Yeah, they were. And the Steelers, and they got off. One of the problems the Browns had, they had a couple of good drives, but they could only get field goals. So they didn't take full advantage of getting ahead. And I remember a million times Hank Stram would say, you know, if you get down there and you keep kicking field goals and you're only a play away from being behind, then very often than not, you see a team who starts off great, but you look up, they're only ahead 6-0 or 9-0. And you say, hey, they could have been ahead 21-0 or 17-0, and they're not. And it comes back to haunt them. And that's kind of what happened to the Browns today.
And speaking of the Browns, it sounds like that that there may be a some sort of coaching change, because offensive coordinator Todd Haley and coach Hugh Jackson are apparently not on the same page. So change there.
Probably Haley's going to be out. Probably Haley.
Yes. Seahawks 28, Lions 14.
That was the big surprise of the day to me. I had picked the Lions. The Lions were home. And but Matthew Stafford, when the Lions were trying to come back, he had two turnovers. You know, he had a fumble and an interception. It looked like the Matthew Stafford of game one, and he'd been playing really well in between, even in a couple of their losses. So you kind of, it's amazing. It's an important win for Seattle. Seattle is not going to win that division, but they need to be starting to think about trying to pull off one of those wild cards, and they're right in the mix now with all those NFC North teams, and now they've got to win over one of them, and that could come into a tiebreaker or whatever. So it's a very big win, and an unusual win for one of the teams that won in Eastern time to come into the Eastern time zone and get a win like that. That doesn't happen every day.
Redskins 20, Giants 13. That was kind of a yawner, to be honest with you.
Okay, if he's listening to the podcast, I want to say it again, Jeff. It's not the defense, Jeff. He keeps complaining about the defense and the Giants. No, it's the offense. The offense is terrible. Poor Eli is running for his life. That he doesn't have an offensive line. He's got good weapons, but he can't get the ball. He doesn't have time. And Redskins are a mediocre defense, and they really shut them down. And it was really, again, almost not as close as that score indicates either.
I was listening on Channel 88, and when they would go to Giants radio, Bob Papa, he just seemed bored with the game.
He was.
Kenny Albert seemed bored. Kenny Albert was definitely bored with it also, you can tell.
He knows they're out of it, and Bob Papa is nothing if not transparent, that's for sure.
In the probably the best game of the first part of the day, the Bengals defeated the Buccaneers 37-34. Jameis Winston, four interceptions. He was benched. Randy Bullock hit a game-winning field goal, but Fitzmagic was on display at Cincinnati today and nearly won the game.
We covered this a few weeks ago, and we were talking about it. You're going to really take Fitzpatrick out and put Jameis Winston in, and yes, they did. And he's had a little success, but he was terrible today. He threw four interceptions, and you had to bring Fitzpatrick in, and he almost brought them back. He did bring them back to a tie, but the Bengals were able to get down the field and get the field goal, and they really needed it, because with the Steelers winning, they need to keep pace there in the AFC North. So that's a three-way battle now between Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh. So they needed that win badly. But here we go. I wonder if we're going to have a controversy in Tampa Bay now.
Well, time will tell. Panthers 36.
They need a good controversy in Tampa
Bay. Yeah. Panthers 36, Ravens 21. That surprises me that the Ravens were not a little more competitive in that game.
That really surprised me, that game. I didn't see much of that game, but that they weren't even in it.
I don't know. The Ravens didn't, they lost that game to New Orleans last week. They were home. Their offense isn't that good. And Carolina, between McCaffrey and Newton, have two amazing weapons. And you don't know what's going to happen, whether they're running or throwing. You can have a pass play, you can have a run, and you don't even know what to deal with. It's quite an option team, really. So with both of them, McCaffrey runs and catches the ball. And of course, Newton can do both throw and run. So it was a very dynamic offense they had to face, and it's putting a lot on the Ravens defense, which is a good defense, but they can't get into a shootout with anybody. And that was my thought, was being in Carolina, that they would probably win it, and they did.
Well, and I'm sure Bill is happy tonight. The Colts beat the Raiders 42-28, the hapless Raiders, if you will.
The hapless Raiders. Well, Robert's birthday isn't as happy as it could have been the Raiders had managed to win that, but they were ahead for a while.
If anybody's left on the Raiders still,
I didn't listen. I listened to the Colts, and again, Matt Taylor and Jim Sorgi did a good job, and I was listening to them today when I listened to that game. I am not going to listen to Brent Musburger unless I'm absolutely forced to do so, and so far I've avoided it. And no, it's just I think the Colts are having, there's teams, they're not going to have a great record, but they're building something. They have that running back, Nyheim Hines, who is very good. And of course, they've got some receivers, and they've got Andrew Luck. And when you have your franchise quarterback already, you're one step ahead of all these other teams that are trying to rebuild.
Cardinals 18, 49ers 15. That game, not much to say about that game. It was kind of a yawner, to be honest.
Big comeback. It's a big comeback for the Cardinals. And what's his name? Ron Wolfley thought it was quite a win for the, but they came back and they won it 18-15, and they'd been behind 15-3. So that's the first success Josh Rosen has really had. And the Desert Rose, as Ron Wolfley is calling him, get used to that. And there's nothing like a little drama with these Wolfleys between Craig and Ron. But it was quite a comeback for Arizona. And Larry Fitzgerald was really psyched. He scored the two-pointer and he spiked the ball. And they said he never does that. So he's pretty excited about this young quarterback. And we'll see if that's a little bit of a statement game for the Niners aren't a good team. The two bad teams going against each other. But a win is a win. And when you're a rookie quarterback, you want to grab on any straw you can.
Absolutely. And probably what was the game of the day, the Rams beat the Packers 29-27. And the Packers, you know what? They showed up and they didn't win the game.
Yes, they did.
They played pretty well in this game.
They did. As Larry McCarron said, they have some things to build on here from this game. But they're in such a tight division that these losses, and Detroit and Green Bay really damaged themselves today. And Chicago and Minnesota, now if Minnesota can win tonight, the Bears did themselves a favor today by winning while the Lions and Packers were losing. So it's a really tight, there's not much margin for error in that division right now.
And to the aforementioned Vikings are hosting the Saints in what was a good, really good playoff game last year. So you're seeing the rematch of that tonight, the Saints visiting the Vikings. And then tomorrow, the Bills and the Patriots at 8:15 tomorrow. So,
and we do have to say the Dolphins have to keep the champagne on ice. The Rams are still undefeated. Need to mention that too. And they said they have now, they're 8-0. That's the first time they've been 8-0 since 1969 when they went 11-0. So this is getting into historic territory for the Rams as far as undefeated season or whatever. Okay, we got our week 9 schedule coming up here. And the first game of the weekend is the last Battle of the Bays. Well, of course, they used to play the Battle of the Bays every year during the exhibition season until about 5 years ago. It turned into a fight, so they stopped doing that. But they're going to have to do it this week. Oakland at San Francisco at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, Fox and NFL Network. And, since the Raiders are supposed to be out of here, that'll be the last one you see of that in this current series. But the Raiders have a habit of going back to Oakland every few years anyway, so we'll see how it goes. Yeah. Okay, on the Sunday games, we have Chicago at Buffalo, 1 p.m. on Fox. So that would be an interesting game. Kansas City at Cleveland, 1 p.m. CBS. We have the Jets at Miami, 1 p.m. CBS. Detroit at Minnesota, 1 p.m. Fox. So there's one of those NFC North games we're talking about. Atlanta at Washington, 1 p.m. Fox. Tampa Bay at Carolina, 1 p.m. Fox. Pittsburgh at Baltimore, 1 p.m. CBS. Houston at Denver, 4:05 p.m. CBS. So Fox will have the doubleheader game. We have the Chargers at Seattle, 4:05 p.m. on CBS. The Rams are at New Orleans. There's another game of the day next week. Rams at New Orleans, 4:25 p.m. on Fox. And that should have a lot of offense in it. And then we have another good game following that with Green Bay here against the Patriots at 8:20 p.m. on NBC. So you're going to see arguably your top four quarterbacks or whatever, three of your all-timers anyway, in Brady, Rodgers, and Breeze, and then the good young gun in Goff, along, the other young gun nowadays is Patrick Mahomes. So, you're going to get to see Goff go up against Breeze, and then Brady and Rodgers hook up, and that's one of those things where they don't get to play that often. It's only every 4 years and the way the league does the rotation. But when they play, it's an event. Monday night game next week will be Tennessee at Dallas, 8:15 p.m. on ESPN Watch and ESPN. And then the bye teams, we have a lot of byes. So people's fantasy teams will be kind of decimated. Cincinnati, Indianapolis, we have the Giants, Philadelphia, Arizona, and Jacksonville. So six teams off next week.
The first week of six byes. And I think there's only 2 weeks of six byes, I believe.
Right. What they try to do is the coaches were complaining people were getting bye weeks in week three or week 14, because they used to try to do it where there'd be a couple or three teams each week or four teams. They're now trying to get as many of them in the middle of the season as they can. So what that does, though, is it actually is a week later than you'd expect. You'd actually expect that this week with the World Series going on, you might have fewer games. That's done that in the past. But this year, this is a big week. And then, of course, today we had our last game in London too, so that's over with for this.
We have
this
one
year.
More game internationally in Mexico City. A few weeks, a couple weeks down the road, it'll be Kansas City and the Rams. That's a few weeks down, so that'll be the only international game left.
Okay, so that's the schedule for week 9 and some interesting games, especially a late Sunday afternoon with that Green Bay, New Orleans, and then the Patriots and the Packers Sunday night. I think those will be games people will really enjoy.
You had Green Bay playing a doubleheader.
Green Bay playing two teams here. The Rams in New Orleans, and then the Patriots and Packers, and that'll be fun.
And I would certainly recommend probably the Rams broadcast on that one, because we know that Pierre still is not amused by the
No, he's not.
Okay, so what's been going with college football?
Well, yesterday was kind of an interesting – well, this weekend, of course, Thursday night, you had some blowouts. You had West Virginia basically spanking Baylor, Boston College over Miami. But yesterday, you had some shakeup. I mean, you had – Iowa State. What is going on with Iowa State there? Man, they're just – Matt Campbell is working his magic there. I mean, taking out Texas Tech.
I think they're getting healthy, maybe, what's going on.
And then your three – you know, you had that 3:30 block of games were some really good games. Houston, you know, took down – South Florida was undefeated. Houston, without their big – the guy who's supposed to be a top-five draft pick, Ed Oliver, you know, without him, you know, it was kind of interesting. Former Texas quarterback under Mac Brown coaching against the coach at Texas that was fired. You had that one. You had the cocktail party, even though we're not supposed to call it the cocktail party. Georgia just – I mean, Florida was in it for a while, but not really much. And then your Iowa-Penn State game, that one. Does anybody want to win the Big Ten? Does anybody really want to?
And we said last week we thought that would be one of the better ones.
Yeah, that was going to be one of the better ones. I mean, of course, Oklahoma State, as they call it, one of those trap games, taking down number 6 Texas. As I've stated, you know, and a lot of people have stated, including myself, Texas doesn't play a whole game. I mean, Baylor, Kansas State, even in the Oklahoma game, Oklahoma, they were up 21. Texas didn't even lead, did not lead the whole game. They started playing in the second half, but you played four quarters. So, you had that game. What? I'll tell you the team that's really coming out of nowhere, and I don't think anybody had them picked to win the Pac-12, is Washington State taking down, you know, their run is just going. They're continuing. Notre Dame just took out Navy.
Well, and if Washington State keeps winning, we know we'll get quotable quotes there. That's Mike Leach.
Oh, the Pirate. Man, that is just – you know the Pirate is going to say something. And yes, for those of you that don't know, he has all kinds of Pirate memorabilia, and he is into Pirates. So that's why a lot of people call him on that. When he was at Texas Tech, let's just say people like to hear the press conferences.
Where do we stand with the Big Ten West?
He hosted on XM for a while, too. And boy, everybody he going to say today?
So where do we stand with the Big Ten West? Because I don't know if you mentioned Wisconsin losing yesterday, too, to Northwestern.
Yeah, Wisconsin losing to Northwestern.
Big Ten West is pretty much wide open. And right now, the team in the driver's seat in the Big Ten West is Northwestern, and we'll have to see what happens. But Northwestern is there, Iowa, Wisconsin, you know, so there's any number of teams could do it. And then, of course, how does the Big Ten East shake out? You know, that's going to be the thing coming down the stretch.
Right, and of course, traditionally, that Ohio State-Michigan game, I don't know whether it's in Ohio, in Michigan or in Columbus or what, but that game's always, you know, pretty much decides that division most years. With Penn State as the third possibility.
And this week you got the very first college football playoff rankings come out on Tuesday. Right now, we already know three of them that are going to be in: Clemson, Alabama, and Notre Dame. Now, are they going to go ahead with LSU this week? Are they going to get Georgia in there? Or is Michigan going to jump in? Or somehow Oklahoma? Those are the four that I think you're going to question, because you have a matchup this weekend, which is game day is going to be there. It's a CBS primetime game, LSU-Alabama. So are they going to rank LSU number 4 for this week to really hype the game and say,
I bet they do. I bet LSU is number 4. Yep.
Yeah, they probably will.
And the thing to look for is, who are those teams right behind the top 4? That's what you look for going forward into the next few weeks.
That's why I throw in your Michigan, your Oklahoma, your Georgia. Don't forget a Cinderella team like a Central Florida. Remember, you're defending national champions,
that's right?
As they say. But you have those teams. And this week, you have some interesting games. Northwestern, Notre Dame.
Yep.
Who'd have thought you'd have talked about Northwestern, Notre Dame? I mean, Jamal called it last week up here.
He did.
Don't still. Yeah, he called. I mean, Northwestern, you know, don't. I mean, yep, they've been the spoiler.
What I call the Air Parsegian Bowl, because, of course, that's where he was. And then he went to Notre Dame. He left Northwestern to go to Notre Dame in 64.
And then you have, and this one, who'd have thought this would be an interesting name? Utah and Arizona State. Herm Edwards coming in. I mean, Utah, Arizona State, they're going to be battling. They're going to be battling for the Pac-12.
One of the games that we should mention about a little bit of an upset was Georgia Tech beating Virginia Tech Thursday night. I don't know if you mentioned that.
Yeah, I don't really. I think Virginia Tech's been kind of sliding. Georgia Tech, I don't really. I mean, that's kind of an upset, yeah.
But it's similar to the Big Ten West, because what happened in that division, you got both Miami and Virginia Tech losing, so that throws it into a cocked hat in the Coastal division.
Yeah, I mean,
ACC.
Yeah, basically, the ACC is Clemson and everybody else.
Right.
But
we have a game, 3:45 Saturday, BC will be going to Virginia Tech for their designated rival game, and, you know, BC, that should be a good game. Yeah. BC will give them a good battle out there.
Yeah, you got that game, you got Kentucky-Georgia. Yeah. Who'd have thought that we'd hide Kentucky, Georgia, and Auburn, Texas A&M. Auburn's been kind of struggling. Texas A&M's been doing okay, but I mean, those games.
I think after last night, though, we can probably, any chance that A&M had of getting in, they probably blew that last night.
Yeah, I think they did. I think they did. Oklahoma, Texas Tech. That's always. You never know, Texas Tech. I mean, they just basically gave up in that Iowa State game. Texas, West Virginia, does Texas bounce back? It's a home game. West Virginia came off of Baylor. How do they get? We already know they finally decided it's going to be one in that 3:30 window. I believe a Fox game. They were deciding if Texas had won. The rumor was it was going to go head to head against LSU, Alabama. But we see that one. Like I said, you know, you got Washington, who, you know, they lost. They're going into Stanford, Colorado. They're not. Colorado's on the downside. Washington State has Cal, who upset. You know, Cal beat Washington. They upset them. So you got some interesting games. But like I said, the big game is definitely LSU Alabama. That's the big one. But
by the way, if callers want to speak, go ahead and hit *9 to raise your hand. If you're on the phone, I think it's Alt-Y on the app. And then Bill will tell us you've raised your hand, and we will get to you. So,
and you can join in. You can join in, of course, 646-876-9923 and 287-723-4600 at the pound key twice, and you're in like Flynn. Whoever
right.
Flynn is, you're in like
That's
him.
Right.
He's always in here.
he's here all the time. Okay.
And I hear Bill that is trying to communicate with us. So, Bill, come on in.
I was just going to say, we've got one raised hand. Do you want to get to these other news stories quickly or put them off?
Why don't we take some calls for a minute, and then we'll do the news stories.
Who do we have that wants to?
I think we got Jerry.
Yeah, I'm here. Want to report that the Red Sox are winning 2-1.
Okay.
Steve Pierce led it off for the Red Sox with a two-run homer. And there we go. I didn't hear who hit it for L.A., but that's where we are now. And I want to report that the Pitt game was good yesterday with Duke as well. Pitt won 54-45.
Yeah, there were some wild ones yesterday. I think it was like something like 51-44 or something. Syracuse beat NC State. There was a lot of scoring yesterday in the ACC. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's always okay. good to get a score update. I'm sure.
That is good, Jerry.
I'm sure that makes Chris happy that the Red Sox.
It does make me
all
happy. That's right. Yeah, Steve Pierce was quite an acquisition by the Red Sox this year. That was an unsung pickup. You know, we thought maybe there'd be more. Perry and I both thought that when they picked up Ian Kinsler, that would be a big move, and that hasn't turned out so much. But the Steve Pierce acquisition has really been big for them since the middle of the year when he got here.
He replaced
Hanley Ramirez. They needed a right-handed bat, and Hanley was not getting it done. So that was important. What were you going to say, Perry?
Were you awake on Friday night for the Ian Kinsler throw to first base?
Yes.
And I believe it was the 13th inning. And now I heard it on two different feeds. I heard the Dodger and the ESPN feed. Rick Mundy and Charlie Steiner said it was clearly an error. Chris Singleton, who of course is an infielder, said he probably wouldn't have had an out, but he probably just should have ate the ball. What did you hear?
Yeah, what Tim and Joe said, and Lou Maloney, and of course, he was an infielder too. He was saying he didn't set, he was hurrying too much, and he didn't set his feet, and that's why he threw it away, and you know, there was no chance at first base to flag it down, and that was an important play because you know, that really cost him a run right there.
It did, and if he makes that play, then the World Series would have ended last night.
Over last night. That's correct. Yep.
Any more hands?
We got 708. Yeah, we got Jamal.
That would be Jamal.
That'd be Jamal. Hello, how are y'all doing?
All right, Jamal. All right.
Jamal, are you going to take credit for your call of Northwestern last week?
I'll pat myself on the back.
Okay. Yeah, well deserved. That's good.
I was away to hear that the NFL Illinois FanDuel Station Richard, and during the lunch, I was watching the Northwestern game in my room, and when Northwestern was drilling Wisconsin, I'm like, holy smokes. Mm-hmm. Looks like I called it again.
So, and Jamal, you're gonna have to contain yourself this week. You've got your team is facing your hated rival here, Notre Dame.
Yes, and I'm gonna call it right here now. Northwestern is going to do it again.
Okay.
Oh wow.
They've got a good team. Yep. They got a good team. So they might.
And the Bears look good today?
Yes, I was checking out the Bears when I was on my way back home because by the metro station in downtown Chicago, and the Bears actually won the day. I'm happy about that. I'm happy the Packers lost.
Right.
So
it was a good day for the Bears because the Packers and Lions lost. So,
hopefully the Vikings lose tonight.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that.
It'll be a nice day for the Bears. Mm-hmm. You know, contest-wise, the contest I'm in, the pools I'm in, I'm doing pretty well this week, which I'm happy about.
I think that division, though, Jamal, in all honesty, is going to come right down to the end, that NFC North.
Well, it's all going to come down to who wins the division game, because it's up for grabs. I mean, you got the Bears. I think, realistically, it's more between the Bears, Vikings, and maybe the Lions, because I think the Packers, yes, they got Rodgers, but they don't have – the Packers don't have enough around Rodgers, I think.
That's what I said, Jamal, but then today they did lose the game 29-27, but they really, in all fairness, unless they just stepped up and everybody played over their head, I think Chris, you would agree, the Packers played a pretty good football game today.
They did. They led most of the way, and again, if they'd had the chance, Ty Montgomery had not tried to take the ball out of the end zone and he hadn't fumbled and given the ball back to the Rams, you know, Aaron Rodgers, along with, you know, Brady and Breeze, those are the guys you want in the last 2 minutes of a game. And, you know, so you give them 2 minutes and two or three timeouts they had, and at your own 25, two and a half or so, that easily he could have gotten them in Mason Crosby field goal range. So they very easily could have won that game.
But they didn't, thank goodness.
No, well, they didn't. And the Rams continue undefeated. And as we say, it's getting to be historic proportions for the Rams.
I'm sure they'll, if they keep winning now, they're going to make the 72 Dolphins kind of nervous.
Yeah, you know, it's a long way yet. And, you know, the Dolphins, I think, have faith that somewhere along the way, somebody's going to get them. And it could be New Orleans next week. I mean, they've got to go into New Orleans, and that's not easy to do.
Never. Do we have any other hands, Bill?
Let's see here. We've got our friend,
we can go ahead.
303 area code. He hasn't said anything yet, but.
Oh, D-Train.
D-Train.
Oh, you know what? D-Train might want to come in on this one. He might want to come in on this story, but if he has anything.
Are you with us, D-Train?
I'm right here. Yeah, I want to talk basketball, but before I do that, I say no to Manny Machado.
New York needs starting pitching.
You know, they got a lot of pop in their lineup. The bullpen is nice. Their Achilles heel for the last few years has been what? Starting pitching.
That's right.
I like Luis Severino, but he's not a number one. Two maybe, but not a one.
Also, what is the theory, D-Train, about if they got Machado, would they stick him at third and leave Didi at short? Is that the idea?
See, this is my first time hearing this, so I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that'll be, you know, next two or three days after the World Series, we'll get into all that. We'll start to see all those articles about how they would use them and this and that. But I mean, I really think, don't you get the feeling they're getting into this name thing where they just, we got, Giancarlo. Now we got Manny Machado. And it's like, that's not what we're about, really. you know, look at the Red Sox. The Red Sox, they went for names in the starting pitching like you're talking about with a Sale and Price. And other than that, they built from within, you know, the Benintendis and the, you know, the Mookie Betts and all that. Those are homegrown products.
Uh-huh.
And the Yankees have the homegrown products, but now they keep wanting to get, you know, hitters who are big name guys. When if they had Price and Sale, it would be a different division.
And Fran, you said you wanted to talk basketball. Let's get this story in, and then we'll let you go on basketball. Today, the Cleveland Cavaliers announced that they have fired coach Tyronn Lue after an 0-6 start. Larry Drew promoted to head coach.
Yep. And that's exactly what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
You know, I'm not inside that locker room, so I don't know what's going on over there. But 0-6, do you guys think that Tyronn should have been fired? I mean, you just lost LeBron James over the summer.
Right. You know, the whole thing is, as I kind of said, the whole thing for 3.5 years, he was on tenterhook. Either the owner or LeBron wanted to fire him every couple of weeks for one thing and another. They retooled their team 2 or 3 times with him. I don't think anything was his fault or his credit. I think he was just there. And I think if they wanted to start over, though, why not just bring in a new guy at the beginning? Go to college, get a Brad Stevens guy, get a Brad Stevens type dude, and let him come in and start with a young team from scratch.
Or even like a Steve Kerr type, you know, someone like that they brought, you know, that came in and rejuvenated. Somebody young that can just start over and build this young team. You know, he left Golden State. Even a Mark Jackson, somebody like that, you know?
I was just going to say, this guy can't even get a job, you know?
Mark Jackson, he built that Golden State team that Steve Kerr came into. So, I mean, he knows how to at least build a team.
Yeah.
Would you say that you're surprised by the poor start of the Knicks, or did you kind of expect this?
No, I'm not surprised because, I mean, who do the Knicks have?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, Porzingis is still hurt. You just got this young kid, Kevin Knox. Tim Hardaway Jr.?
Yeah. Right.
You know, the Knicks really don't have anybody. I mean, hey, they can sign me up.
You know what though, Train? I feel your pain because the Bulls are just as bad.
Yeah. But look, the Knicks have James Dolan, which we had a nice chat about him on Thursday. Nice chat about good old Jimmy Dolan and
Maggie Gray. What are you hearing about that, Train? Because I know you follow the New York media and this whole thing with Entercom and with the FAN and the Garden and everything. What have you heard about that?
You know, I haven't, you know, I've heard bit pieces, you know, and it's really a shame that they're going to cease advertising on the Entercom stages. Because, I mean, MSG, you know, they've got, you know, the Beacon Theater, Radio City Music Hall, and they, you know, especially around the holidays, there's a lot of things going on in the city over there. So
I think Entercom will be just fine. You know, I think he's fighting a bigger animal than he is in the jungle at this point. Entercom's doing pretty well, and I think, you know, he needs them a little more than they need him, I think.
Wouldn't you say, Trey, though, that this is definitely a James Dolan type move?
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you what, I miss the good old days of Dave Checkett running the show there. And Ernie Grunfeld as the GM.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
So, I don't know. Yeah. But and what did you think of your Jets today? They hung in there okay against the Bears for a young team, I guess.
Well, a loss is a loss, but, kudos to Chicago taking care of business. They at home.
Yeah.
You know, Trubisky had a nice game. Sam Darnold had a rookie-type game today. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not much you can do. I guess the weather conditions weren't that good either. They said it was very windy and stuff, so
It was very windy in this part of the country today.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of chilly and windy here in Detroit, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Lions, now they're there. Now you're there, and they're going to be ripping the Lions badly.
I'm like you. I had the Lions winning that game today.
Yeah. I was surprised.
I didn't see that one coming, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yep.
Anybody else, Bill, while we're talking to the callers?
Right now we have nobody else. We've got Pam Francis hanging around. She's usually good for 2 or 3 comments. Where are you at, Pam?
Okay. What you got, Pam?
We might have woke her up.
Yeah, we probably did.
Should we get another one of those little random news stories out of there?
Sure. You had one, Bill, about Milwaukee. Why don't you talk about that?
We've got one. You know, WKTI in Milwaukee, they were bought by, who did I tell you, Chris? Craig Karma's on Good Karma Sports. TMJ. Well, now they're truly taking over on November 1st. And the first thing that happens is WKTI flipping from country going to ESPN Sports and will be simulcasting 5:40 a.m. And this gives ESPN that 5:40 signal a good signal into Milwaukee, a signal at 94.5, not a translator, but a very good, clear signal. So that I haven't seen something like that happen in a long time. And of course, when the staff is going to be completely let go, the country staff right now. So in with the new on November 1st, and hopefully we can get a radio scope of that and have it on the air.
Yeah, we lost a legendary broadcaster, especially in the Bay Area last week. Hank Greenwald died, and he was, I think it was around 85, somewhere in there. But he had done the Giants. He had done the Warriors. He actually did some Oakland A's TV later in his career. He did the Yankees for two years. Yeah, he came just before John Sterling. He and Tommy Hutton were doing the Yankees radio in 87 and 88. So he had quite a career and, you know, was well thought of in the Bay Area, I think, by a lot of people.
And I think he has a son, Doug, that does AAA baseball for.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
I believe he's in Fresno is where he was.
And he also did.
I think so.
Okay. And what was our other story? We had three, and we had the Tyrone Lue.
The golf.
Oh, yes, the golf.
So we know the price on Tiger and Phil on the day after Thanksgiving.
Right.
$19.95. You can watch it 3 o'clock on Black Friday if you don't have shopping or any other thing.
Or whatever college football game
whatever
is going on.
Whatever college football is going on.
I think I will probably pass, and there's plenty of college football that day, and there's plenty of college basketball that day, which, by the way, we will probably, if not next week, certainly the week after that college, we'll mention one little bitty
nugget on college basketball that came out this last week. With three gentlemen connected to Adidas and the agent, Christian Dawkins, James Gowdy, and Merle, or James Gatto and Merle Cody, however you say his name, were all found guilty in this FBI Adidas trial. And then there's another trial starting in April where several assistant coaches are going on trial for taking bribes to get players to come there. So we're not done with that story at all.
No, and I saw the preseason poll that came out this week. And, of course, a lot of the top four or five won't surprise you. Kentucky's up there. Duke is up there.
Kansas is number one, aren't they? Kansas is number one.
Right up there. So, I mean, it won't surprise you as to who they are and all that. So there's your little, there's your basketball nuggets for those.
There's your teaser out there on that one. Any callers out there with anything to say? Anybody who chimed in already? You can still chime back in.
I think Pam's almost there. Pam, are you there yet?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Pam.
Okay,
what's going on?
What have you got to tell us from Kansas City?
Well, let's see. My Chiefs won today.
They did.
Yep.
They did indeed.
And I gotta say one thing about that game. Too many penalties.
Okay. Well, were you thinking that the calls were going against the Chiefs or just the Chiefs were a bit sloppy and committing penalties?
The Chiefs were sloppy.
Yeah. What happens in a divisional game like that when you're at home and you're facing somebody you've already beaten once, even though they had a tough game in Denver when they beat them a few weeks ago, you know, you kind of settle down. I've seen this with the Patriots. We may even see this with the Patriots tomorrow night. They could, if you look at it on paper, you would think they would totally kill the Bills tomorrow. You know, you got Derek Anderson coming up against Tom Brady and the Bills are just not a very good team, but the Patriots may let them hang around for a while. And that's kind of what happens in these divisional games sometimes.
You know, and we should probably mention it because it is news. It doesn't happen very often. Speaking of Kansas, the Jayhawks won a football game yesterday.
Wow,
yes, they
that's
did.
Right.
They beat TCU. Yes, they did. And TCU definitely is not the TCU that we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the year. But
no,
Kansas,
I think I heard they had like four or five players, good players, that were suspended for various reasons this week.
That is the first conference game Kansas has won since when they beat Texas a couple of years ago that led to Charlie Strong getting fired.
I almost wonder whether or not winning that game is going to make it going to allow them to keep their coach. And I say that rather sarcastically.
Yeah, one game doesn't necessarily. I mean, hey, it's better than, and he can argue, well, I won a conference game this year, but I mean, you've got other teams that are winning 3 and 4 and more. And so you really can't hold that up as a great thing to be alumni and
supporters. That team has been in shambles since
Mangino left. Yeah,
you know what though, Pam? The people in Kansas will tell you the real season starts in a couple weeks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. The restaurants have been in shambles too since Mangino left.
Oh my. Yeah. Well, and you know, if your other basketball schools are doing a little bit better in football. Kentucky is having a very good year in football, and Duke's hanging in. They're doing all right. So some of these North Carolina's doing okay.
Well, now, can I ask you guys an opinion about one thing?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
How come it all? You know, I've always heard that football drives the bus for these schools.
Correct.
Right.
But how come it is that when the basketball schools that have elite programs, their football programs are crap?
Well, not always.
Not always.
UCLA has had good. UCLA's been good on both sides of the ball quite often.
Ohio State has.
North Carolina has from time to time. Florida. You know, in Florida. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Florida. Remember, Pam, in about the 90s? In the 90s,
oh, yeah. Florida won the championship had the in football and basketball.
They did.
A lot of it, what it is, because and Texas has this with basketball, because Texas has been good at basketball, but Texas is a football school. Basketball is their secondary sport, where like Kansas, basketball is king, because, I mean, James Naismith. I mean, or a place like Kentucky. Now, Kentucky's doing well. They're doing okay, but football is their second sport, because they know they can, when they go to the NCAA tournament, they bring revenue, because 93% of the NCAA revenue comes from that NCAA tournament. Now, the schools themselves get revenue from going to the bowl games, but the NCAA itself, and so schools like Kansas, they're like, you know, we'll have a decent football team if we win. We lucked out with Mark Mangino, but that's our secondary. Just the same thing kind of like with Texas and football. You have those schools that are good in both Michigan State is more of the basketball school in that state, Michigan's the football school. UCLA is good in football, but basketball is their main. USC is the football school. USC is the basketball school. I want to thank everybody for calling in. Leave us a message, 773-572-7715. Do not make it private. While you're on legendoldies.com, click on the talk show page, and you can look up the date to hear us on there, for go to Sports Lounge Live, or you can listen to the conversation station, 712-432-6499. Hit 4 from the main menu, hit 2, and then podcast number 4. And we want to thank all of you callers. We want to thank all of you listeners. Till next week, I will say, see ya.